All right, well, let's open our Bibles today to the book of Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. And we're going to read the first three verses. Acts chapter 13. Today I'm going to be bringing a message which I've entitled, Ministering to Christ. I think you'll see why I titled it that just momentarily. Acts chapter 13, and let's read the first three verses. Acts 13, beginning with verse 1. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod and the Tetrarch and Saul. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I've called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. I'd been reading through the book of Acts recently, and as I hit verse 2 really caught my attention. I want you to look at that. As they ministered to the Lord. Here's my question. Have you ever ministered to the Lord? How does one minister to the Lord? And what does ministering to the Lord imply? So, are you now, or have you ever ministered to the Lord? Let me tell you what I believe after having looked at this passage. I believe that if we understand this concept of ministering to the Lord, it will change our service, our sacrifice, our prayer life, our ministry, and everything about it. You have to remember 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 31, and I'm sure you do, where the Apostle Paul said, Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. I do want you to turn, hold Acts 13, we're coming back there, but turn over to the book of Colossians chapter 3, and let's look, if you would please, at verses 23 and 24. There's a verse here I want you to see. It's easily quoted, Colossians 3, verses 23 and 24, because we're still talking about ministering to the Lord. He said in Colossians 3, in verse 23, And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of your inheritance, or the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Now I want you to look at the word serve there. In verse 24 he says, For you serve the Lord Christ. The word serve is the Greek word for slave or bondservant. Literally, he says in verse 24, For you are the bondservant or the slave of the Lord Christ. So as a slave then, you're obligated and duty bound to minister to your master. I've pointed out in times past how the Apostle Paul delighted to call himself the bond slave of Jesus Christ. Now, since we're talking about ministering to the Lord, let me make something exceedingly clear right now. You do not have to be a pastor to minister to the Lord. Many individuals in the Bible ministered to the Lord who were not pastors, who were not necessarily teachers, and many may equally do so today. So we have to just simply discover what it really means to minister to the Lord and how we're to minister to Him. The problem is, we have tend to categorize everything, and we tend to think, well, there's Brother Weaver. He's in the ministry. He's a preacher. Well, that's true. I'm in the ministry, and yes, I'm a preacher. But please understand something. If you're a Christian, you're in the ministry as well. So don't just think of this as the official version that here I am, I'm in the ministry and you're not. No, no, no. You're in the ministry equally. We may have a different ministry, but we're still in the ministry. There are various kinds of ministries in the Bible. And God demands that each one of us then develop and concentrate on our particular ministry. So do not think that you have to be in a pulpit just simply to minister to Christ. Now, I want you to turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 12. And look at verse 7. Romans chapter 12 and verse 7. I'm not going to take the time to read all of chapter 12. There's a lot in there about ministering. In fact, but I will begin with verse 6, where he says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given unto us, whether prophecy or preaching, let us prophesy according to the proportion of our faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, and he that ruleth with diligence, and he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation, abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honoring, preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. I want you to note, if you would, how all of these things are talking about serving the Lord. But when you look back at verse 7, when he says, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Matthew Poole, the commentator, said this, under this word, that is ministering, comprehends all ordinary ecclesiastical functions, which is afterwards divided into two sorts. The first relating to the Word of God, and the second to other pious or godly works. So notice what he said. There's a division, first relating to the Word, and then any other pious or godly work. So what he's saying is, it is all ministry. Let me show you how widely this word is used. You don't have to turn to these two passages, but first of all, the word ministering is so widely used in the Bible. In Acts chapter 6 and verse 4, it is used of those who dispense the word of life or preach the word of God. But in Acts chapter 6 verses 1 through 3, it also refers to those who administer what you and I would call the temporal affairs of the church. So basically speaking, the word ministering here is used in Christianity to denote the service which is rendered to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Master. And so the apostle in Romans 12 and verse 7 says this, whatever your ministry is, you're to concentrate upon that ministry. You're to make sure that you attend to it and give diligence to it. Now let me just show you how wide of application this word has. I want you to look in Luke chapter 10 and verse 40. This may surprise you, but look in Luke chapter 10 and verse 40. Here's a passage that everyone knows. You may not be able to quote it, but at least you know it. You remember how Jesus was at Mary and Martha's house. In fact, let's begin reading verse 38. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about with much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. Wow. Guess what? The word serve, which occurs twice in verse 40, is exactly the same word for ministering in Romans 12 and verse 7. Where he said, if we have a ministry, let us wait upon our ministry. So literally, Martha said she was cumbered about with much ministry. And she came to him and said, Lord, doth thou not care that my sister hath left me to minister alone? Interesting. I want you to understand that there are two main words that are used in the Bible when it comes to ministering. The first word is the verb diakoneo and the noun diakonos, from which we derive our English word deacon. By the way, the word actually literally means a servant. Let me show you how wide this word is. It is translated in our Bibles as minister and serve, but it literally indicates to be a servant, to be an attendant, to be a domestic, to serve, to wait upon, to minister to render ministering offices, to wait upon tables, to serve food and drink to guests, just like Martha was doing, to supply food and the necessities of life, to relieve the necessity of someone by taking or giving alms, and also to provide for and to take care of, to distribute to things necessary to sustain life. And finally, it means to wait upon the office of a deacon. Look how wide that word is. It is used in every one of those ways in the Bible. Now, we're going to be looking at a number of passages where that word is used. But I want to emphasize today the second word. Everyone understands the word diakonos, deacon. But how about this? This word is found in Acts chapter 13, and look in verse 2. Acts 13, verse 2, the Bible said, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted. It is not the word diakoneo, the verb. It's an unusual word. It is the Greek word liturgeo. The noun is liturgos. Liturgeo is translated in our Bible as minister or ministered. It is translated as minister or ministered only three times. Now, it's translated other ways in the Bible, but only minister and ministered three times. The first time it is used is in Acts chapter 13 and verse 2, where they ministered to the Lord. So what does that mean? Well, let's go to the second time that it's used. Let me show you in Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. I'm going to show you this one secondly so you can understand the third passage. Notice in Philippians chapter 2, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. Philippians chapter 2. And although the word occurs in verse 25, you have to read the context in order to understand the meaning of the word. So I want to read verses 25 through 30. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians 2 verse 25. The apostle Paul says, yet I supposed it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, and companion in labor, and fellow soldier, but your messenger, and he that ministered to my wants. You know, this hit me this morning as I was looking at this. He didn't even say he that ministered to my needs. But he said he that ministered to my wants. Now watch verse 26. For he longed after you all and was full of heaviness, because that you had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick, nigh unto death, but God had mercy on him. Not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I sent him therefore the more carefully, that when you see him again, you may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation, because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service toward me. Now, I want you to go back and look at verse 25. Paul said, yes, I suppose it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, my companion in labor, my fellow soldier, but your messenger, he that ministered to my wants. And, of course, the Greek word here is liturgeo. Here's what the Apostle Paul is saying, that Epaphroditus literally wore himself out ministering and taking care of the Apostle Paul. In fact, he ministered to the Apostle Paul in such a way that he became sick. So sick that he nearly died. And Paul said that God had mercy not only upon Epaphroditus in sparing his life, but on Paul in allowing Epaphroditus to continue. And so Paul is now going to send him back to Philippi. And he's telling them why Epaphroditus became so sick and so nigh unto death. Look in verse 30. Because for the work of Christ, he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service toward me. Wow. Let me spell this out for you. Epaphroditus served Paul selflessly and at his own expense. The Philippians should have been helping him, but they were not. So Paul said, to make up your lack of service to me, your lack of help, your lack of ministry, he literally wore himself out. So Epaphroditus then served not only at his own expense financially, but also physically. It cost him his health. Now I want you to go, if you would, in your Bibles to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. Three times this word is ministered, is translated minister in our Bible. The first one, Acts 13, verse 2. The second one, Philippians 2, verse 25. Now the third one, here in Romans chapter 13. And of course, I hope you know Romans chapter 13, of course, deals with the civil ruler. Verse 4, I'm just going to point this out. I'll point it out in a few weeks again. Talking about the civil ruler, he said in verse 4, "For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil." The word minister in both instances there is diakonos. He's the deacon. He's the servant of God. But when you get to verse 6, he says, "For this cause pay you tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing." And the Greek word for minister here is liturgoi, and the word literally means, listen carefully, to assume an office which must be administered at one's own expense. It means to discharge an office at one's own cost. That you do a service and you perform a work. Now this word is used to describe the work of the priests and the Levites around the tabernacle and the temple. It's used to describe Christians as they minister to Christ, whether or not they are instructing others as to the way of salvation, or serving the needs of others like Epaphroditus did, or whether or not they are serving in a governmental function that was ordained of God. Let me spell something out for you. We understand that those in the Christian ministry often serve at their own expense. I go off preaching. I never ask for an honorarium. I never ask for anything. I just go. Sometimes my expenses are covered, sometimes they're not. Sometimes they're more than covered, sometimes they're not. We understand that everything that we have only by the grace and mercy of God. So we understand the Christian ministry basically is at our own expense. What we fail to understand is this, that civil government is also supposed to be a Christian ministry. Did you know that in the beginning of our country, most of our congressmen, quote unquote, either served at their own expense or close to it? For instance, from 1789 to 1815, members of Congress received a daily payment of $6 while in session. From 1815 to 1817, congressional members received an annual salary of $1,500 per year. From 1818 to 1855, they received a per diem of $8 per day, or $8 per day. The word per diem is a Latin term meaning per day, or alternatively for each day. It refers then to an allowance that someone is to have as expenses for a day. So, just stop and think about this. From 1818 to 1855, while they were in session, $8 per day. Out of session, nothing. You have to also consider that during those years, the congressman received no gain per se. There were no perks. There was no health insurance. There was no retirement packages. And in all probability, the little bit that they did get probably did not cover all of their expenses. So here's what I propose. Today you offer a sitting congressman to cover his meals and his transportation to and from Washington or to and from the state capitol, and maybe even room and board while he's there, and nothing else.
Amen.
And see how much he really wants to serve.
Yeah, 30 days of service.
See, you see what I'm saying? Now, the point I'm trying to make is this. This word talks about ministering at your own expense. Now, when you go back to Acts chapter 13 and look at verse 2, the Bible says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I've called them. Now, we're not told exactly as to how they were ministering or what was involved in their ministering, but whatever it was at their own time and expense. In all probability, prayer was involved. I don't doubt that at all, because the Bible also says they fasted. And usually in the Bible, prayer and fasting were connected. If they were doing something else, the Bible does not say. But the questions that must be raised in light of this text is, first of all, do we minister to the Lord? And secondly, if we do minister to Him, how in the world do we minister to Him? I think it's vitally important that you and I understand that whatever we do, it is to be a ministry unto the Lord, since we are His bond slaves. Can you concentrate on that just for a moment? Can you stop and think about how it would change your life? I don't care if it's washing dishes, sweeping the floor, waiting table. Can you imagine how it would change your life and your attitude if you realized that whatever you did, whether you ate or drank, whatever you did in word or deed, you were ministering to the Lord? You have a ministry. So let's answer this question, how do we minister to the Lord? Let me answer this for you several ways. First of all, we minister to the Lord by serving and ministering to others, and especially His people. In the context of Acts chapter 13, where the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I've called them. If you'll skip down to verse 5, of course He called them to preach in this instance. The Bible says, and when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister. So obviously, in this particular instance, their ministry was one of preaching and teaching the word of God. Preaching is one way to minister. It is not the only way. Certainly, it is one of the main ways. It is an important way, and certainly not anything to be disallowed or discredited in any sense of the word, but it's not the only way to minister. I want you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Galatians chapter 6 and look what the Apostle Paul said in verse 10, Galatians 6 and verse 10. And then get ready, we'll turn right over to Hebrews chapter 6. Notice Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10. Look what the Apostle says. Galatians 6 verse 10. As we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, but especially unto them who are the household of faith. Did you hear that? As we have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, but especially unto those who are the household of faith. So we have a duty, we have an obligation to minister to everybody that we can minister to, but especially they who are the household of faith. If you'll turn right over to the book of Hebrews chapter 6, Hebrews chapter 6, and notice if you would please verse 10 there. Hebrews 6 and verse 10. Notice what the scripture says, Hebrews 6 and verse 10. The apostle writes, "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward his name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister." Isn't that interesting? We could read it like this. "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have ministered to him, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister." Now the word minister in verse 10 of Hebrews chapter 6, in both instances is the word diakonos, which means to serve. We minister to Christ by serving his people. Obviously, Christ does not need to be ministered unto in the strictest sense of the word. Why? Because Christ is God. He is the all-sufficient one. He has need of absolutely nothing. So how do we minister to him? Well, the answer is by ministering to his people. His people have plenty of needs. I want you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Matthew 25. Matthew 25. And let's begin reading with verse 34. Matthew 25, verse 34. We'll read through verse 46. And I'll ask you just a couple of questions. Look at Matthew 25, beginning there with verse 34. Matthew 25, verse 34. The Bible says, "Then shall the king say unto them on the right hand, Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was a hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me." "Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison, and came unto thee?" And the king shall answer and say unto them, "Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you've done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you've done it unto me." "Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was a hungered, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took me not in. Naked, and you clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, you visited me not." "Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Surely, Lord, we'd have ministered to you." "Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not unto me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." So the question is this: how did those on the right hand minister to Christ? What's the answer? By ministering to other people. How did those on the left hand not minister to Christ? By not ministering to others. Do you understand that ministering has a very broad definition? One may help sickly saints. One may comfort the bereaved. One may supply physical needs. Or one may encourage another spiritually speaking. It is all ministry to Christ. Let me show you. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. And let's begin reading there with verse 16. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 16. I want you to note Paul's request and why. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 16. He says, "The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus." Why? Why should the Lord give mercy to this individual and to his house? "For he oft refreshed me, and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day. And how many things he ministered unto me in Ephesus, thou knowest very well." So what did Onesiphorus do? He sought Paul out when Paul was in prison in Rome. What did he do? He probably carried him food. He probably prayed with him. He probably encouraged him. He visited him. He did many things. And Paul is asking the Lord to have mercy upon him because he ministered to the Apostle Paul. You don't have to turn there, but you remember the little book of Philemon right before the book of Hebrews? You remember Onesimus was a runaway slave. And he belonged to Philemon. And he got thrown into the same dungeon with the Apostle Paul. And God converted him. And when he got out, Paul sent him back to Philemon, and he said this in verse 13, "Whom I would retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel." What? Yeah. Paul said to Philemon, "I'd love to have kept him, but, you know, he's yours, so I'm sending him back. But, you know, you owe me even your life as well." So how can we minister? We can minister to others by visiting, by encouraging, by praying, by doing a number of things. I want you to look in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I want you to see that we can also minister to Christ by supplying the needs of the saints. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 12 and 13. 2 Corinthians 9, verses 12 and 13. The Apostle Paul says, "For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. Whilst by the experiment of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men." Now the word administration in verse 12 and in verse 13 are translated from the word diakonos. However, the word service in verse 12 is from the word liturgia. We minister to Christ by serving others. Let me show you. I want you to go in your Bibles to Mark chapter 15. And we'll go to Luke 8 after Mark 15. So go ahead and find Luke 8 as well. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So go to Luke and find it. And then turn, if you would, to Mark 15. Okay? Look in Mark chapter 15 at verses 40 and 41. Here's an interesting passage. Mark 15 verses 40 and 41. Talking about the crucifixion of Christ. Mark 15 verse 40. "There were also women looking on afar off, among whom was Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James the Less, and of Joseph and Salome, who also, when he was in Galilee, followed him and ministered unto him, and many other women which came up with him unto Jerusalem." Now, here's some women that are named, and they're specified as having ministered to Jesus Christ. Well, how did they do that? Well, look in Luke chapter 8 and verse 3, if you would. Here's one of the ways that's specifically mentioned. Luke 8, verse 3. The Bible says, "And Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's servant, and Susanna, and many others which ministered unto him of their substance." That is, they took care of his needs. Food, clothing, whatever. Here were some women that evidently were fairly well off, and so they just simply supplied the need. In Romans 15 and verse 27, the Apostle Paul said it like this, "It hath pleased them verily, and their debtors they are, for the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, their duties also to minister unto them in the carnal things." We minister to Christ first and foremost by ministering to others, but especially His people. Okay? Here's the second way. We minister to the Lord by offering to Him the sacrifices of praise. I'm going to show you this from the Bible in just for a moment. But let me ask you this. Think, how often do we fail to praise the Lord? Now just stop and think. We're sickly. We have needs. There are problems, all kinds of things. And what do? We plead with Him. We beg with Him. We beseech Him. We do everything. We cry and pray and fast and just holler and beg. And finally, God marvelously and mercifully answers our prayers. And guess what? We just take it and go our way. We're not ever really thankful for the giver of the gift. Do you realize it was one of the main duties of the priest, not only in the Old Testament, but in the New Testament, not only to offer up sacrifices, but to offer up incense? Do you know what incense was a picture and type of? Let me show you. Turn in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 8 and look in verse 4. Revelation 8 in verse 4. Then we'll go back to Luke 1. Look in Revelation chapter 8 and verse 4. Remember now, one of the duties of a priest was to offer up incense. In Revelation 8 and verse 4, the Bible says this. In fact, let's read verse 3 so you can see the context. And another angel came and stood at the altar having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. Note, if you would please, the prayers of the saints are connected with incense. Now go back to Luke chapter 1. You'll remember that Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist, was a priest. And it happened to be his turn to minister in the temple. But I want you to see how he ministered and what was happening as he ministered. Look in Luke chapter 1, beginning there with verse 9. We're talking about Zacharias. In fact, let's read verse 8. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing at the right side of the altar of incense. What were the people doing while he was offering incense? They were praying. Why? Because incense was symbolical of the prayers of the saints. Now, the Bible clearly teaches the priesthood of every believer. You have to remember, the Bible says in Revelation 1 in verse 6 that our Lord has made us kings and priests under our God. So, I want you to turn to two passages. I want you to turn to Hebrews 13 and just hold it, but Hosea chapter 14 first. Okay? So you can turn to Hebrews chapter 13, just hold that passage, and then I want you to go back to the book of Hosea. We'll read Hosea first. Hebrews 13, just hold that passage, and then go back to Hosea chapter 14. Okay? Daniel, Hosea. Hosea chapter 14, right after the book of Daniel. Look in Hosea chapter 14 and verses 1 and 2. Hosea 14, verses 1 and 2. God says, O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Well, how do we return to the Lord of our God? Well, he says in verse 2, take with you words and turn to the Lord, say unto him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. Watch this last phrase, so will we render the calves of our lips. So what is the prayer request? Take away all iniquity That is, forgive us, grant us repentance, receive us graciously, and what will be the result? So will we render the calves of our lips. That is, we will give praise unto you. Look in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15, and you'll see how the apostle applies Hosea 14 and verse 2. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15, the Bible says, by him, therefore, that is by Jesus Christ, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. So what are we to be doing continually? Giving thanks and giving praise to our Lord. I want you to understand, it's not just the fruit of our lips that we're to be offering. It's actually more than that, because what did he say in Romans 12, 1 and 2? I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And we're not to be conformed to this world, but be transformed, how? By the renewing of our mind, that we may prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. So, if we actually are presenting our bodies a living sacrifice, our lips are part of our bodies, and we should be constantly praising our Lord. How do we know whether or not our lives are a living sacrifice? You don't have to turn there, but the Apostle Paul answers that in Philippians 1 and verse 11 when he says, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. So if we're actually presenting our bodies a living sacrifice, our lives are going to be filled with the fruits of righteousness. So the apostle is saying, if we're going to minister to the Lord, we do so not only by serving others and especially God's people, but we do so by constantly and continually offering praise unto him. Thirdly, and very quickly, we minister to the Lord by declaring his gospel and his truth. You must remember exactly why the Holy Spirit said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I've called them. Did Barnabas and Saul understand that God had called them to preach and teach? The answer is definitely yes. That's immediately what they began to do. In Romans 15 and verse 16, the Apostle Paul said this, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentile, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. But notice he said, ministering the gospel of God. Have you ever stopped to think that preaching the Word of God is a ministry to Jesus Christ? Are you listening? I may be ministering to Christ as I preach the Word of God, but you minister to Christ by hearing, receiving, and applying the Word of God. I want you to look in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. This is an amazing passage. I've preached on this passage in times past. In fact, a number of messages. Some of you may remember, some may not. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, I want you to notice what the Apostle Paul said concerning these Corinthians. Look in verse 2. He says, you are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as you are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. He says, you are the epistle of Christ, ministered by us. Wow. Do you realize that you are to be the writing paper that I ride on as I preach. And the Holy Spirit is to make it real in your life. Another thought is this. Do you realize one does not necessarily have to be called to preach to share the Word of God? Every Christian has that responsibility. Every Christian can share the truth of God. There are many and varied ways to share the truth of God. Gospel tracts, witness, consoling, comforting, encouraging, praying, living a godly life, living a holy life, simply by being willing and ready and able to help others. Your life should be lived in such a way that your life is indeed a living example of the gospel. So let me go back to my original question. Have you ever, or are you now, ministering to Christ? Let me make some applications. I want you to think. I told you the two main words for ministry. Diakonos, liturgos. And liturgos, liturgeo, the verb, literally means to serve at our expense. Here's the first application. We must understand that the ministry costs us. It is our expense. In all probability, one that is in the ministry will never get rich in the ministry if he's really, genuinely ministering the Word of God and staying faithful and true to the Word of God. Let's be absolutely honest, folks. The ministry cost. Stop and think. It cost Christ. It cost him his life. It may end up costing us our lives. But whatever expense we have in ministering to Christ, what is that compared to what it cost him and what he gave to us? You remember what he said in Mark 10 in verse 45? Listen carefully. For even the Son of Man came not to minister, to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Did you hear that? He came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. So, yeah. It cost us when we have to cook food and carry it to someone who's sick. It cost us when we carry food to a grieving family. It cost us when we have to drive somewhere to encourage somebody to pray them. It cost us to entertain. It cost us to make DVDs, tapes. It cost us to try. Yeah, it does. But that's ministry. Here's the second thing. Those who teach the Word of God and live the Word of God. Did you hear that now? Those who teach the Word of God and live the Word of God really and truly do minister and serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And although it may cost us temporarily, we have to remember that the Lord is not going to be any man's debtor. I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19. Look, if you would, beginning there with verse 27. Matthew 19, verse 27. Matthew 19, verse 27. Look at the question Peter asked. Matthew 19, verse 27. Then answered Peter and said unto him, Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? We've given up everything. Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that you which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, you also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone that hath forsaken houses, or brothers, sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold and shall inherit eternal life. Wow. I don't know about you, but even the last, having eternal life is worth everything we could ever spend or it could ever cost us. That's why he said in Colossians 3 and verse 24, and we read it earlier, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of your inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Look in your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. And look at verse 11. 2 Peter 1 verse 11. Watch this. 2 Peter 1 verse 11. Look what the Bible says. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you. But you minister to him, he's going to minister to you. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Wow. Our Lord says, you spend your life ministering, I'll minister to you. Wow. You see, what we fail to do is this. We fail to take the attitude that Jesus Christ took. We have to understand the ministry is our business. Now, I'm not saying the church is a business. It is not. But here's what I mean by that. You remember in Luke chapter 2, when our Lord was in the temple, and his parents went off without him and came back looking for him, found him sitting in the temple, hearing and answering questions. And his mother said, how could you do this? And we've sought thee sorrowfully. How could you do this to us? And what did our Lord say? What? Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? This is my life, he said. This is my life. This is my life. It should be your life, the ministry, ministering to Jesus Christ. Praying, fasting, and many other Christian exercises do indeed minister unto our Lord. And when we minister to him, we should make sure that we perform these exercises with a thought in mind that we are ministering to Christ. I don't know about you, but it's an impacting thought in my mind to even conceive of the idea that I may be able to minister to Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? And let me show you something. One last passage. I want you to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I want you to look at verse 1. I want you to stop and think. I don't care what ministry you have. I don't care if you give. I don't care if you share. I don't care if you're living a godly life. I don't care if you're praying. I don't care if you're encouraging others. I don't care what ministry you have. I want you to just look at this thought. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. The Apostle Paul says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. Do you realize the only reason any of us have any ministry at all is because of the mercy of God? Have you stopped to think about that? If God was not merciful to us, we would never be able to be a blessing to anybody or to help anybody, much less be a minister to Jesus Christ. You need to stop and consider that everything that you do is ministry. I don't care if it's cooking for your husband, looking after your parents, sharing the gospel, taking care of your baby. It's all ministry. If you ever grasp the idea that whatever you do in word or in deed, and whether you eat or drink, you're to do all for His glory and in ministry to Him as they ministered to Christ. So I want to ask you to do this today. Somehow, sometime, when you get home, ask the Lord to help you to minister to Him and to realize that your life is a ministry because you're the bond slave of Jesus Christ. Father, we bow to Thee this day. We thank You for Your Word. We thank You for Your truth. We ask, Father, that You would indeed help us to live for Thee, to minister to Thee, and Lord, as we minister to Thee, to minister to others as well. And Father, we give Thee glory and we give Thee praise in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen.